sits at the right hand of God. Then in verse 2 he says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. He says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, tell your neighbor, Christ, our life. Christ is our life. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Glory! Now, if he says Christ is your life, what should your life look like? That's the burden of Christ Life Conference. If he says that Christ is your life, what should your life look like? What should your day-to-day experience look like? So we are striving to raise believers that when we look at the life of Christ and we look at their lives, it's the same. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if this means anything, it means there's a lot of work we need to do. Praise the Lord. You know, on Wednesday, we were talking about spiritual growth. You know, like I said, we had the maiden edition in 2021. It was emphasis on who is the Holy Spirit. In 2022, it was training in the gospel of Christ. 2023, it was World Festival. In 2024, the emphasis the Lord has given us is, we've titled it, The Refreshing. Praise God. Now, I want to start from here. Early this year, I had a strange encounter. When I just moved to Abuja, I was studying, and Jesus walked into that room and said something to me. He said, feed my sheep. He said it the first time. Feed my sheep. He said it the second time. Feed my sheep. He said it as though he was angry, with a very stern looking face. Feed my sheep 3 times and walked away. So I began to pray on that revelation that I had. Now, what could the Lord mean by this? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Obviously, it was not a physical encounter. I knew that I had encountered something. It was spiritual. Are you with me? And I was asking myself, what does the Lord really mean by feed my sheep? And I began to pray. And the leading I got from that prayer session was, in the next coming conference, Christ Life Conference, feed his sheep. And so I wrote a list of topics that maybe the Lord wanted us to talk about. But as I prayed, I knew that was not what the Lord was saying. I was writing and I was praying. This was not what the Lord was saying. And one morning after praying, that word, the refreshing, dropped. And I began to pray, what's the Lord trying to say? And I'm going to read some verses to you and give you an explanation to what I believe that the Holy Ghost is saying in this season. In the name of Jesus. So what do you really mean by the refreshing? Number one, refreshing has to do with change of times and seasons. A change in times and seasons. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 from verse 19. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Are you seeing that? He's calling refreshing a dispensation of time. Are you seeing this? What did he call it? The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So, we are seeing that refreshing, according to this verse, is a dispensation of time. Oh, let me give you an idea. If you have been born again for about 5 years, you can relate to what I'm saying. There are some seasons where, in your walk with God, it just seems like there is this glow of the Spirit within you. You just feel like praying more that time. In fact, some of you will even see more miracles that time. It's as though your spiritual eyes are open. And whenever you pray, you see visions. But other times, it's looking like it's scarce. It will look as though, where is God? Are you following this? It's not alien to the Bible, like we see it here. A time of refreshing, it comes from the presence of the Lord. And when you study the Bible, you will discover that God deals a lot with times and seasons. Let's look at John chapter 5. You know, the Bible says in Exodus 3, why you open John 5? It says there is a time for everything. There is a season for everything. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. But John chapter 5, let's read from verse 1. John chapter 5 from verse 1. The Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Are you following this? Now, verse 4. It says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. What did he say here? For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So the angel did not come every time. The angel did not come every time. Listen, this conference, I know the devil is trying to distract you, but I came to announce that there is a new season from heaven coming. Amen. It's a new season. And it is those who are able to discern it and step into it that will be able to be blessed by it. Because let me tell you something. God can be doing something mighty and you can be distracted from it. Please don't be distracted. Listen, we don't just hold conferences for the sake of holding conferences. We are holding it to announce to you that there is a season coming. And I perceive it will begin in the month of April. Amen. I'm telling you, I was surprised you said amen, but that's good. That's the way to respond. I sense a shift is coming from the month of April. And so, in times of refreshing, what happens? Look at what is going on here. No matter what they were going through, when that season came and the angel troubled the water, anybody that stepped in was made whole. So, in a time of refreshing, lost dreams are being restored. In a time of refreshing, closed doors are being opened. Amen. In a time of refreshing, opportunities that were lost are being opened back. Amen. I'm telling you. So I'm announcing to you that we are about to step into a season where all things become possible. I'm telling you. I'm announcing to you that we are stepping into a season where even the things you gave up on, because the angel of God has stirred up the water, if you step into it, those things will be restored. In the name of Jesus. And so, on this point that refreshing refers to a dispensation of time, how can we really take advantage of this? First of all, I want you to know that you cannot create a time and season. You can only take advantage of it. Like we just saw, it comes from the presence of God. So your job is to be able to discern when is this thing coming and glide on it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In fact, let me tell you something. One sign that you are in a new season, a season of refreshing, that God is about to do something new, your distractions will be high. Oh my God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, do you know that story? It says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. Now, all of them had lamps. Okay. Then at some point, all of them slept. But it was the ones who had extra oil in their lamp. So that means at that point, every one of them were distracted. But there were some that prepared ahead of that time. That's why we're having this conference now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, the Bible says, can we look at it? Matthew 25. Matthew 25 from verse 1. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So now, it's not just the foolish ones that were distracted. Even the wise ones were distracted. Everybody. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. This is a teaching on its own. You know, sometimes it looks like when you're waiting for God, you're trusting God to do something. But it's like God is wasting time. Are you following this? It's like it's taking too long. You're expecting this change, this shift to happen. And so, you know what happens to some people? They slumber and sleep. They just say, okay, this change is not coming. This shift is not coming. You know what? Let me just become docile. So spiritually, they sleep off. Are you getting me? They sleep. Oh, see, let me tell you something. For the fact God has not shown up does not mean God is sleeping. Does not mean he has forgotten. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Then at midnight. Now, question, why will you come at midnight? Why? People are sleeping. What does that tell you? God will not come at your own time. He will not come at your own clock. He may come when you least expect. He may even come when you are saying, okay, I've given up. I'm done with this thing. I'm tired. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Perhaps Christ Life Conference is to announce to you the bridegroom cometh. Yes. You know, what if that thing you are trusting God just shows up? Imagine your life just enters what we call cruise mode. And in the next 1 week, you have to relocate. Things are just happening. Will you be prepared for it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
You know, I once had a protege who were praying for him to get some open doors. He finished from school, was praying, trusting God for favor. For almost 3-4 years, he couldn't really get any stable job. 4-5 years, we were praying for him to get something. Then at the point, he told me he wants to leave the country. And I will pray with him. He will apply, they will deny him. Sometimes he will get a job, they will deny him visa. He will get visa, they will deny him the job. It was just going back and forth like that. And one time, I was praying and I sensed my spirit tell him to prepare. So now, I thought in my own understanding, I thought the preparation was just physical preparation. And after a while, it was not so long from then. It was not up to 3 months. Got the job, got the visa, got the open door, and boom, moved out of this country. And I was happy for him. Ah, if I knew what was coming, I shouldn't have been happy. Ah, Jesus. I was happy for him. Not too long after, the kind of reports that started coming, I give up. I was like, ah, Jesus. You know, there are many people who have not built their work with God. Their spirituality is still shaking and they want to go out. By the last time I heard, he had become a womanizer. It had gotten so bad, it had affected his health. He had contracted strange diseases. Are you what I'm saying? Yes, his health was deteriorating. I started praying. I said, God, intervene. Now, God opened the door, but it was as if the door was a trap. How much preparation have we put for where God is taking us to? Let's go back to our verse of the Bible. Where did we stop? And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. See verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. See, that season ended. So refreshing refers to a new dispensation of time. And I pray for you, you are prepared.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So number one, times of refreshing can only come by divine intervention. It's not something you can make possible by your own power. So what will you do? You have to take advantage of it when it comes. How do you take advantage of it? By spiritual alignment. By spiritual sensitivity. Spiritual alignment, spiritual sensitivity, being watchful, giving yourself to prayers. That's what tomorrow morning will be praying. Giving yourself to prayers. Giving yourself to the things of the Spirit. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 10 from verse 1, it says, ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Yes, I'm telling you, this is the season of the latter rain. Praise the Lord. We have come into a season and the rain will begin to fall. You will see it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Secondly, refreshing has to do with re-emphasis of core doctrinal conviction. Let's look at something. James chapter 1 from verse 18. Then we'll jump to verse 21. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Are you seeing this? Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Now, go to verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, and so a filthy of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Hallelujah. Glory. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, and so a filthy of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That means, it is only the word that has entered, the one that has been engrafted, that can save you. How much of the word of God has truly entered? And you're going to see how important this is shortly. You know, in this our Christian journey. Listen, when you see everybody in church, they are not all the same. When we all come to church, we are not all the same. Some people allow the word of God to get inside. You know, Bishop Edipo, I heard that in those days, in the 80s, when he's preaching, he'll say, listen to what I'm telling you now, so that you will not say I'm using jazz. One day, they called a meeting, and there were very few. And he said, as few as they were, he said, see, I want all of us to open our heart and serve God. Now that we are on this level all together, let's open our heart and serve God. Because when God changes our level, don't say we have become class conscious. I'm telling you. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. I've come to realize that, listen, somebody can be a UP or active member in church. Does not mean he's active in the word. Oh my God, you know what I'm saying. It's possible to be deceived in church. Very deceived. The person is coming, oh, pastor, oh, he's active. But when it's time for the word of God, no attention. No attention. Music is there. When it comes to dancing, he's there. Ah, this church. When it comes to concept, it's there. But the core of the word of God is not there. Something is wrong. I'm telling you, a day of trial will reveal what is inside. Jesus said, I will liken him, a wise man, to the one that built his house upon the rock. For the rains came, the winds came, and fell upon it. And it did not wither away because it was founded upon the rock. Refreshing is to come and reemphasize some things. Be founded upon the rock. Let this thing truly enter. You know, this year, the prophetic word the Lord gave us is the year of quantum leaps. But glory! But Lord told me, before quantum leaps, you will take roots inside first. You see, it's a teach. Slam the word of God again. Teach it again. Teach it. Let it enter properly. The Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That's what I was trying to show you in Acts chapter 19. I was trying to show you that Paul actually took those disciples to a certain house and was teaching them the word of God every day for 2 years. Let's look at it again. You know? Ah, Jesus. So many may wonder why you were holding a weekend conference Friday evening, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, Sunday morning. I know what I'm doing. In fact, we are trying to follow the Bible pattern. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 19. I want to ask you, can you give me a rough estimate of how long it took for you to learn ABCD to when you were able to construct sentences? 3 years, 4 years. Now, with the sentences you wrote at age of 4, can you write WAEC? With the that laugh. It took some of you 10 years. How many of you also noticed this thing? That when you were in, maybe, did they call it SS1 or an SS2 again? Is that what they still call it? But some people call it form 1, form 2. There's a child in the secondary school from class 1 to class 6. So you can see JS1, JS2, JS3, SS1, SS2. It may have changed. I don't know. SS3. How many of you noticed that there are some subjects that it was when you got to the next class you began to understand? Where they taught something. They were teaching this thing. It was like, how? It was as if it was coming to your brain and going back. Oh my God. Do you know how long it took for me to understand that minus times minus is plus? I was like, how? How can minus meet minus? It's supposed to be double minus now. Child God. Holy Spirit. I knew where I was. I can remember where I was in now when I was like, oh, if you minus the minus has gone away. It's now plus. I know some of you, you are wondering what I just said. The way you get Rema, that was how it hit me in the class that day. So, let's read verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not. So now, Paul came and preached. And guess what? The people did not respond the way he wanted. Oh, that means there is nothing we have seen that is strange. 3 months, January to March. He was shouting like this. They were not in fact, they did not just reject the way. They now began to speak evil against it. But speak evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So they went to somebody's house, that maybe that was like a school, and they now had daily services. Now, let's look at this thing and see how long it happened, how long it took. Verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years. So, now, they were having services every day for 2 years. You know what I used to tell people? It will take an average church that does 2 services in a week, 6 years to match up what they did in 2 years. Are you following what I'm saying? Every day for 2 years. How many days are there in a week? 7 days. And this is where we're having services. So, hey God. So they had 7 services in a week. How many days do we have in a month? Remove Christ Life Conference. So, let's say you have a Wednesday service, a Sunday service. So you have 8 services in a month. They will do in 1 month. You will do in 1 month what they did in 1 week. And you think you'll be the same? You cannot be the same now. You cannot be the same. They will do in one. So in 1 month, they will do what you did in 4 months. Now, it says, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. What happened? So I will tell you what happened here. So they were teaching the word, and the word was growing in the people. The people that it was growing in were now bringing more people. Because that was how it continued. They did not tell us again that he went out. He was there. Like that. Like that. And guess what happened? When the word of God exploded in 2 years. In verse 11 it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. So, the miraculous that you are expecting will come as a result of an influx of the word of God. So, when the word of God has gained proper ground, the natural response is the miraculous. See, check the Bible. The Spirit also always goes in the direction of the word of God.
Praise the Lord. So you see, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. The Bible now says, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them. And the evil spirits, now, the word of God has gone beyond just even doing miracles. Now it has carried, the Bible has, the anointing from the word of God has entered their clothes. I'm telling you. How did they know that aprons, that means it happened first of all by mistake. It must have happened by a mistake first. And after a while, aprons, handkerchiefs, were not carrying the word of God too. And then, you know the story, they went to see this, the sons of Sceva, when they heard that Paul were casting out demons. You know the problem? Many people will now try to reproduce your results. They don't know your track record. Are you with me? They don't know your track record. But they want to produce the results of someone that has a track record. So they saw Paul casting out demons, and they saw the diseases leaving people because of Paul's clothes. And now the sons of Sceva said, they looked at it. What was he doing? Okay, he was calling Jesus. Okay. They don't know that there was 2 years of the word of God behind Paul. Oh my God. And so the sons of Sceva went and said, you demon spirits, leave this person by the name that Paul preached. And the spirit says, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Who are you? We know these guys that have a track record. Who are you? Praise the Lord. And then the demons beat them and made them naked. I can imagine the beating. Verse 20, the Bible now says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You see, this entire story was captured in that verse. The word of God grew and prevailed. Satan, may the word of God grew and prevailed. Satan, may in my life, the word of God will grow and it will prevail. In my life, the word of God grows and it prevails. Glory! So go back to James chapter 1 from verse 18. From verse 18 it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Now jump to verse 21. It says, wherefore lay apart all futileness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to do what? Save your souls. Now go to the next verse. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, why is it saying, be a doers of the word? Remember, you were born of the word. In verse 18, it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. You know, he didn't say, be a obeyers. Is there any word like that? Now, do we obey the word? Of course we do. But what's the difference between obeying the word and doing the word? When you use the word obey, it looks like the word of God is something so high and far away from you that you are struggling to obey it. But when it says do the word, it means you have the ability to get it done. Are you with me? And in line with what he told you, he says we are born of the word of truth. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So that means the word of God gave birth to you. And if the word of God gave birth to you, you can get it done. Praise the Lord. He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Now, I want us to pay attention. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Oh, my God. He's starting to talk about the mirror here. That if anyone hears the word, if any believer is hearing the word of God and is not doing it, there is a problem. The problem is like, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Hey, oh my God. I wish your spirit man can open the word I'm about to show you. He's telling you that whenever you open the word of God, it is yourself you are seeing. He says, for he beholdeth himself. Whenever you open the scriptures, he's trying to tell you that that thing you are seeing is actually your image. But the problem is that he looks at him himself and then he forgets what he saw. So the reason why believers are not living in the reality of the word of God is that they are forgetting what manner of men they were. That's why this conference has been called the refreshing. To remind you what manner of man you are. And I like that phrase, what manner of man he was. You know, one other time that this phrase was used in the Bible was when Jesus and his disciples, they were in the boat. And at mid-sea, the storm was raging seriously. And Jesus was sleeping in the midst of the storm. The storm was so heavy, but Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And then they met him and said, Master, do you not care that we perish? And guess what he did? He stood up and said, O ye of little faith. Hey, O ye of little faith. Then he looked at the wind and the waves and said, peace, be still. Then I said, what manner of man is this? Remember, they used that statement that time. What manner of man is this?
that even the winds and the waves obey him. Now, he's now saying that when you look at the world, you also see what manner of man you are according to the order of Jesus. I don't know if you got what I just said. Now, guess what? Read that encounter that Jesus had with the disciples. So what did he expect them to do? If he was sleeping in the storm, if Jesus was sleeping in the storm, and they came and woke him, and he said, you guys are of little faith, what did he expect them to do? What should they have done? And he would have said, oh, you guys really have faith. It's either he wanted them to also sleep like he's sleeping, or speak like he spoke. Jesus believes that if you know the kind of person you are, your response will be different. He says, for he beholdeth himself. So the reason why believers are not living in the reality of the word of God, they are not living the Christ life, is because they behold themselves and they forget. They hear about what the Bible says, who they are in Christ. Like we've been talking, in Christ, I am this in Christ. They hear it, and by Monday they are forgotten. So there has to be a refreshing. Are you following this? There has to be a refreshing to remind you, who are you? Who are you? What do you have? What kingdom have you been born into? What life have you received? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And finally, refreshing has to do with the ministry of the Spirit. Refreshing has to do with a re-emphasis of the ministry of the Spirit. Isaiah 28 from verse 9. Can we read it together? Isaiah 28 from verse 9. Isaiah 28 from verse 9. 1, 2, 3, go. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So now, this verse tells us that one of the signs that you are growing up spiritually, or like it figuratively put here, one of the signs that you have been weaned from spiritual milk, are you with me? Is that you begin to understand knowledge. You begin to understand doctrine. Are you getting this? He says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? He says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Verse 10, 1, 2, 3, go. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. He's telling you how these things work. So this is why I teach you what I do. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. A little here. A little there. Are you with me? He's showing you how people live spiritual milk. How they live holding on to spiritual soku soku. There are a lot of spiritual babies though. And the thing about Christianity is that you can be a baby for 20 years. You can be a baby for 20 years. It's not like natural growth that just happens. Then in verse 11, he says, for with stammering lips, everybody wants to go. Verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. Now, I want to do a quiz. When you see verse 11, what comes to your mind? It says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. What comes to your mind? If you have an idea, raise your hand and just say it. Parables, okay? Tongues, let me get more. When you see the Bible say, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people, what do you think he's talking about? What idea does he give you? Okay, let me give you another clue. What do we do in Christianity that looks like we are speaking with stammering lips? Speaking in tongues! For with stammering lips and another tongue. Now, this verse was a prophecy about the speaking in tongues to come. So Isaiah saw something in the spirit. The prophet, he saw something in the spirit. He saw, like, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these guys? But he was saying it in the spirit, and he began to write. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. So he's saying that a time will come where the way God will be dispensing things will be with stammering lips and another tongue. Yet, now go to the next verse. To whom he said, this is the rest. So he's trying to tell you, when you see that dispensation come of speaking in tongues, know that the time of refreshing has also come. Are you following this? The time when people can come into the rest that God gives has also come. He says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yes, they will not hear. Do you know that there are still people today that still argue about tongues? There are still Christians that will not want to hear. See, oh my God. You preach, explain. They don't want to hear about tongues. They don't just want to hear it. But the Bible says, this is the rest. When you see people begin to speak in tongues, know that a new dispensation of rest has come. Yes, sir. A new dispensation of refreshing has come. Amen. So, what I just shared with you is the template for Christ Life Conference 2024. Glory. So, remember, we said times of refreshing represents a new season in the move of God. That was the first thing we said, right? And so, we're going to do teachings on the leading of the Spirit. How to discern God's leading. All of that is going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're also going to talk about the Holy Spirit and tongues. I'm going to explain it and answer all the questions on tongues. Praise the Lord. Also, tomorrow, I'm going to do a teaching which I have called Present Truth. Who are you? Hallelujah. And on Sunday morning, I'm going to do a teaching and a demonstration service which we've called Maintaining Fire. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And we'll go to Port Harcourt. We'll take it higher, a notch higher again. And we're going to be re-emphasizing things that seem to have been lost. Some core doctrinal emphasis that we seem to have been carried away and we have forgotten. We're going to re-emphasize it in Port Harcourt, in Lagos. Praise the Lord. Can you jump on your feet and begin to pray in tongues right now? Just...